Lord Jesus, please guide us to all be like-minded, sympathetic, loving toward one another, kindly disposed, and humble. Amen.
L'chaim.
L'chaim. Thank you, buddy. Welcome, everybody, to Keith and the Girl. Victor Varnado is here.
Woo!
Of course, you go to iTunes, you type in Keith and the Girl, and you'll find out how to get this show for free, or go to keithandthegirl.com. You'll see there, too. Also, look around, a lot of videos, a lot of pictures, that kind of thing. Talked to Victor on the phone just yesterday, in fact.
As a matter of fact, I was procrastinating, and then I called you guys up.
he invited me to see the movie Expendables. I couldn't make it because I got new lube. I was very excited to try. But he did see it.
I did, and let me tell you,
is it a comedy?
Was worth every penny.
You could have used some lube, though, huh?
Yes, I could have. It would have made it much more exciting. Yeah, it was funny unintentionally in a lot of places.
Can they talk? Can anybody in that cast talk?
Yes, two people.
Who's that? Asian?
Terry Crews and Jason Statham.
Okay.
Those are the guys who can talk. Everybody else is, like, has some sort of speech impediment. Mickey Rourke can barely understand.
You hear
Stallone.
That, Keith? One day you're going to be a superhero, action hero. It's a good future for you.
How these guys are all old. Are they all still in shape? Is it the Expandables?
They are not all still in shape, but a couple of them are in great shape.
Anybody,
amazing shape.
Does anybody say they're too old for this shit?
No, but they do make a fat joke at Arnold Schwarzenegger's expense.
Did he balloon?
He's a little bit bigger than he used to be. He's got a little tummy going on.
Arnold Schwarzenegger's in this?
But yes. For like 2 seconds, I guarantee,
yes, but
right?
He's in it for a couple of seconds, yeah.
Oh, okay, because he should be busy, right?
Yes, exactly. Okay. He's a governor.
I didn't think you can be governor and be in movies. I thought he had to stop being in movies.
No, you can do whatever you want as a governor. You can fuck waitresses, you know?
Okay. All right. By the way, here's something I heard, too. They could have used the Expendables. Victor's neighbor ended up getting robbed. Everybody's getting robbed. There's there's nobody I don't know.
It's a six that degrees of robbing.
Yes.
Exists in our community.
Yeah, that's awful.
It's
that
terrible.
Pisses me off to an unending degree.
And robbed in their building.
Which is so scary, because now you're looking behind you all the time.
I don't know. I don't know if it's worse, because it's your building, and now you don't feel safe, or is it better, because they probably won't come back there, and that's your building, so
no,
that's good.
No, see, I think it's worse, because they now know, oh, well, I robbed you, I took a certain amount of money, which means you make money, you'll be here, you come back from your shifts, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think it's worse.
I just think that the landlord should put surveillance cameras out there, because I know it happened before. And the bad part about it is that building is like a little bit it's off of the main road. Like I live near them. They're in like a block away, and they're kind of off the main road, and my inn is on the main road, which is obviously safer. And so that sucks.
I think he should put a sign up that says no robbing zone.
I don't think that stops people, because there
was no robbing zone sign?
You don't?
There was the surveillance cameras, because there was some, I believe in your neighborhood too, as well, Victor, there were some rapes going on. And
what?
they caught them on surveillance, uh-huh. Surveillance camera. So I don't, obviously that guy didn't care that there was a camera right there.
Really, but they caught him, right? Because of the surveillance cameras, didn't they?
I guess
if they could see his face,
yeah.
And he's known in the neighborhood, they'll catch him.
I'm a fan of cameras everywhere.
Yeah,
but
no,
he managed
cameras.
But he managed to rape something like 7 or 9 women, something like that, well, before they caught him.
Thank God it wasn't 10.
Yeah.
But they did catch him, which is great. I mean, I bet having surveillance cameras helped, like the fact that you saw him. I mean, it doesn't stop that particular crime, but it stops it from continuing forever, right?
Well, Hemda and I know a woman who was in a apartment. That, you know, there's apartments that have the double doors. You open the first one, then you have to unlock the second one. Which, what is the point of those, by the way?
I don't know, actually. I don't know, because when you ring the bell, you have to ring the bell, and they have to hold it for you so that you can go through both doors. I don't think there is a way to go through the first door without a key. So both doors require keys.
It sounds like it's safer, because now you have two doors.
Yeah.
Right? But it's not. It's the rape zone.
Well, that's what it turned out to be. There was a rapist in the neighborhood, and what he was doing, he was trapping the women between the two doors, because if you're a woman going into your own building, you need the key to unlock the front door, and then the key to unlock the next door, which is just, you know, a couple feet ahead of you. So this guy was taking advantage of that pause between the first and the second door, locking them in between, and it's, you know, they're trapped there. So this woman that we know was walking towards her apartment building, felt like somebody was watching her. I'm sorry, walking behind her, following her. She didn't want to seem too, what's the word?
Aware?
paranoid, I guess. Okay. But, you know, she was keeping herself aware. And so when she went into the first door, I don't know if she can already feel him sort of like sneaking up to try to catch it, but right. She pushed the door with her heel closed to make sure that, you know what, let me just be safe and close it. She closed it right on him. He just missed that opportunity. He knocks on, he's banging on the door going, I live here. I forgot my key, you know, whatever. Meanwhile, you know, and who knows what you're thinking at the time, but if you lived as the woman, but you got to think if he lived there and he's been following you, he just, it's not the way to approach things. He would already have encountered some kind of way to approach you or something. Anyway, she said, I'm sorry, but I can't open the door. And he's like, I live here. I can't find my key. You know, I've left without it, whatever the fuck he was saying.
And she said, tell me your name. And he said, John. And she goes, what's that name again? Mark. Oh, interesting.
She said, okay, what floor do you live on? And he said, the first floor. And she goes, well, nobody lives on the first floor. The apartments start on the second floor. So he happened to respond with the absolute wrongest answer, and right. She knew not to let him in. And you know what? Don't let him in anyway, ladies, because whatever. Because you know what? Every decent guy will understand why you wouldn't let him in. Every decent guy.
I never let people in for any reason. Like when I'm in buildings, like if I'm going to someone's building and then I'm opening or they're buzzing me in and someone's behind me, I'm like, and I see them trying to come in, I'm like, dude, you have to wait. And then I close the door on them because I don't trust anybody like that ever. And I also expected, like, if I'm at a door and someone buzzes in and they're like, oh, come on in, I'm like, no, I'll wait for my buzz because I don't ever want to be the guy that they're like, oh, well, he came in and maybe he was the robber. So I don't want to do that either.
Oh, wow. But meanwhile, when you have parties, your door is wide open.
Well, yeah, but I also hire a security guard.
Oh, he's a hired security guard.
Yes. I hire a security guard.
But I never got stopped at your door, though. He just knew I was cool.
I know. Well, I give him very simple instructions. I was just like, only check people who look like they might fuck shit up. I mean, because, like, like, you can tell the difference between people who are there for my party and people who are just in the neighborhood, like, oh, let me walk up in here and get some liquor. So you can tell the difference. So it's not really racial. Well,
though.
No, it's not racial it's because people of all races at my party. It's just like anybody who looks like, you know, like they're just local and don't know me, because you can tell the type of people I hang out with. And so that's pretty
much
it.
None of your friends have their pants sagging below their ass.
None. I mean, I have lots of friends who are like straight up hip hop and colored shoes and hats, but none of them are like so far gone that they look dangerous, I guess.
I've been to some of Victor's parties, and I walked in, and this guy, and I'd see the guy, and I go, I'm here to fuck shit up. And, and you know what he does? He goes, yeah, no, you're not. And I go in.
I guess we don't look badass.
Right. Well, it's not all robbing and rape. We'll talk about some fun things today, of course, like the woman who got arrested, I believe, for showing, kind of reminiscent of a Keith and the Girl TV episode, for showing a picture on Facebook with her little baby smoking a bong.
Hmm.
And, of course, the fun story of Dr. Laura we never got to. I want to talk about that. First, a Kenyan man has been sentenced to 9 years in prison for trying to sell an albino man to witch doctors in Tanzania.
Tanzania.
How do you know? This guy knows the whole world. You know every fucking albino. A magistrate's court in northwest Tanzania sentenced 28-year-old Nathan Mutai on Wednesday after he pleaded guilty to charges of human trafficking and abduction with intentions to sell an albino man, also Kenyan, for 400 million Tanzanian shillings.
How much is that? $4?
$263,000 you would go for, Victor.
Wow, Victor.
Awesome.
Thinking about selling yourself?
I would probably go for more because I'm one of the more popular albinos. So.
Oh, aren't you the best albino.com?
I'm top of the line albino.
No joke. Are you like the king of albinos?
When I went to the convention for albinism,
he's not
I was.
Kidding. Were you really?
Yeah.
Do they all know you?
Of course they all know me. Of course, yeah.
Shut up.
But yeah, because they all know me because everybody has albinism. It's actually great because when I was a little kid, I wish I had some place like that to go to, like where I knew a lot of the people who were adults with albinism, so I could like see like what my future might be like, because when I was a kid, you know, I was just like scared. I didn't know what the fuck was up. I was like, why am I different, God? Help me.
So the movie powder didn't help you?
No. There wasn't an albino in that movie, by the way.
I know. You know what? I never knew until I saw your act that that guy was supposed to be albino.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Well, he just looked like a super white guy, that's all. You know, and there is a difference in color and a difference in everything with, I don't know,
The movie Powder started to stereotype that albinos were magical. It got shipped to Tanzania, all right? Then people started selling people with albinism to witch doctors. So fuck that movie.
At least 53 albinos have been killed since 2007 in the East African nation, and their body parts sold for use in witchcraft.
Yeah, it's horrible.
The victims' blood and body parts are used for potions. Witch doctors tell their clients that the body parts will bring them luck in love, life, and business. They would say, just look at Victor. Look at all these movies he's in. There are around 170,000 albino people who lack pigment in their skin, eyes, and hair living in Tanzania. For the offense of human trafficking, you will go to prison for 9 years or pay a fine.
You know, that doesn't seem like a lot.
Of 80 million shillings. Now, for each human body, he gets 400 million.
Wow.
Little math, you're in and out. What's the problem? But I don't know. Apparently, he didn't have the money. For the second offense, you will go to prison for 8 years. You get two. There's a second offense you can have, and that's just you're going to. You can't even find your way out of that.
Yeah, but it's the first offense is 9 years, second 8 years. Does it just keep getting less and less as you go forward?
But I don't.
I'm sorry, this is my 15th offense.
See you tomorrow.
I only get an overnight.
It's so weird that. It's only 9 years. Human trafficking. They chop up these bodies and throw them into, you know, fires and things. That just seems.
Human trafficking is different from murder. They don't mean.
But they
murder.
Killed them in this.
They're cutting up.
No,
you guys.
But they're talking about different incidents. Like to sell another person alive is different than selling another person or killing a person.
Oh right, because they're not responsible for the killing of them.
Exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
So they're going to jail for the selling of.
Exactly.
Oh, it's like it's like this bong is used for tobacco.
Exactly.
I'm just selling people. What they do, I don't even know. I assume to play cards. They cut them up. That's shocking to me. Mutai's sentence will run simultaneously for each count, meaning that he will spend only 9 years in prison after he failed to pay the fine. So he sold one person, you get 9 years. Sell another person, you get 9 years. Sell another person, 9 years. You know what? It's just fucking, I need a calculator now. The whole thing is 9 years. You can serve them both. You don't get, does he get like four meals each day? You know what I mean?
Four lunches?
Yeah, four lunches. He gets four times outside.
Because he's doing all four sentences at one time.
He gets four cigarettes every day.
Oh, he should. He should. He knows where all the albinos are. That's a lucky, wonderful man.
Well, I want to talk about this. Haven't yet. Dr. Laura, in trouble for saying the N-word 11 times, by the way.
Can I say something really quick?
Absolutely.
There's a charity called Under the Same Sun, which all they're doing is trying to fight that human trafficking. So if anybody's interested, go look for that charity.
What's the name of it again?
Under the Same Sun.
Okay, I'm into that. I'm anti-trafficking.
Yeah, I'm
humans.
It's specifically about them. The whole thing about people trafficking people with albinism and cutting them up.
Can I ask you about
And if you're into it, that's your thing, you know?
Yeah.
The albino convention, are you so popular that now they fly you out there and you're a speaker? What happened at the convention?
I was a speaker at the convention. They have offered to fly me out before, and I didn't actually have time. But this time I actually came out myself. But then they also did speak there while I was there. Yeah.
A bunch of speeches, and then you guys all hang out? I guess like any other convention, what does happen in conventions?
Like the main focus of the convention is to for children with albinism to see adults with albinism and talk to adults with albinism, and also for parents who've never encountered albinism before but have had a kid with albinism to learn about exactly what's up.
How big is it?
It's pretty big. I mean, I think there was like maybe like 2,000-3,000 people at the convention. Yeah, it's pretty big.
Cool. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, here's the Dr. Laura thing. And if you don't know Dr. Laura Schlesinger, allow me to paint you a portrait. She's a cunt. Okay. She has a radio show and just real high and mighty. And, you know, she's not one of those doctors you would say, is there a doctor in the house? I'm choking.
She's conservative, right?
Very conservative.
Very, very conservative.
And I didn't, and I'll play this for you, and I didn't, I think she's just ignorant. I didn't find it racist, but then I just, but I have to ask Victor sometimes. I go, you know, I have flavor, but I'm not black. Is this racist? And Victor will go, yeah, it's racist. I'm like, all right, now I know. Thank you. So I'm glad you're here. But then who's, Sarah Palin ended up sticking up for Dr. Lore, and I'm like, okay, then I know it's wrong. I don't stand fucking wrong.
It's definitely racist.
This was live on the radio. This is from August 10th, not that long ago.
Jade, welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Laura.
Hi.
I'm having an issue with my husband where I'm starting to grow very resentful of him. I'm black and he's white. We've been around some of his friends and family members who start make racist comments as if I'm not there or if I'm not black. And my husband ignores those comments, and it hurts my feelings. And he just acts like he
didn't. Can you give me an example of a racist comment? Because sometimes people are hypersensitive. So tell me, give me two good examples of racist comments.
Okay, last night, good example. We had a neighbor come over, and this neighbor, every time he comes over, it's always a black comment. It's, oh, well, how do you black people like doing this, and do black people really like doing that? And for a long time, I would ignore it. But last night I got to the point where
I don't think that's racist.
The stereotype.
I don't think that's racist. No, I think I think that's, well, listen, without giving much thought, a lot of blacks voted for Obama simply because he was half black. Didn't matter what he was going to do in office. It was a black thing. You got to know that. That's not a surprise. Not everything that somebody says. We had friends over the other day, got about 35 people here, the guys who were going to start playing basketball. I was going to go out and play basketball. My bodyguard and my dear friend is a black.
She's a bodyguard just like you. Our parties get out of control.
Black man.
Bodyguard's a black man.
And I said, white men can't jump, I want you on my team. That was racist? That was funny.
How about the N-word? So the N-word's been thrown around.
Black guys use it all the time. Turn on HBO, listen to a black comic, and all you hear is nigger, nigger, nigger.
I don't get it.
If anybody without enough melanin says it, it's a horrible thing. But when
now, by the way, you hear the producer in the background. Okay, yeah. Let's play some music. Okay, let's get the fuck out of here.
Are we starting to discuss this?
You could discuss as we go, but let me play a little more because she does go on.
Holy shit.
Nigger, nigger, nigger. I don't get it. If anybody without enough melanin says it, it's a horrible thing. But when black people say it, it's affectionate. It's very confusing. Don't hang up. I want to talk to you some more. Don't go away. I'm Dr. Laura Schlesinger. I'll be right back. I'm Dr. Laura Schlesinger talking to Jade. What did you think about during the break, by the way?
I was a little caught back by the N-word that you spewed out, I have to be honest with you. But my point is, race relations.
Oh, then I guess you don't watch HBO or listen to any black comedians.
But that doesn't make it right. I mean, race is a big
my
thing.
Dear, my
Obama's
dear,
been in office.
The point
race
I am trying to make.
To another level that's unacceptable.
Yeah, we got a black man as president, and we have more complaining about racism than ever.
Do you hear how she says black, the emphasis on the word black?
I do hear it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I do. Victor pointed that out when Imus was saying, was Imus, I believe, nappy-headed hoe, and it's like, you listen to the way he's saying it.
And with his cowboy hat on.
Right, didn't help.
I mean, I think that's hilarious.
But I think, honestly, because there's more white people afraid of a black man taking over the nation.
They're afraid.
They want to be honest about it.
Dear, they voted him in. Only 12% of the population's black. Whites voted him in.
It was the younger generation that did it. It wasn't the older white people who did it.
Okay. All right. Chip on your shoulder. I can't do much about that. Yeah, I think you have too much sensitivity and not enough sense of humor. Oh, it depends how it's said.
Is it okay to say that word? Is it ever okay to say that word?
It depends how it's said. Black guys talking to each other seem to think it's okay.
And when I have my all-white wine parties, it seems fine there, too.
But you're not black. They're not black. My
oh, I see. So a word is restricted to race. Got it. Can't do much about that.
I can't believe...
You're a doctor and you don't understand that? Oh, a word can be restricted to race when we used it negatively towards a race. Oh, okay. I see. Okay. Very good.
someone like you is on the radio spewing out the nigger word, and I hope everybody
I didn't
heard it.
Spew out the nigger word.
Nigger, nigger, nigger.
Right. I said that's what you hear.
Heard it.
Yes, they did.
But I hope everybody heard it. So what
they did, and I'll say it again. Nigger, nigger, nigger is what you hear on HB. Why don't you let me finish a sentence?
First of all, why can't she finish her sentence? Mm-hmm. But anyway, I think she's doing you a favor not letting you finish. That can go. When you say the N-word three times in a row, it probably's not going to a good place.
It's like Beetlejuice.
Right.
The producer don't must have been just pulling his hair out.
Right. He's looking for a help wanted section.
Things out of context. Don't double NAACP me. Leave them in context.
Means, and I know it came from a white person, and I know the white person made
all right.
it bad.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Can't have this argument. You know what? If you're that hypersensitive about color and don't have a sense of humor, don't marry out of your race.
See, that's crazy also to
what,
say.
Don't marry out of your race. Oh, my God.
If you don't have such a... And when she's such a fucking idiot. And,
Well, she's a humongous idiot. That's amazing. I hadn't heard it. I just heard about it.
Okay.
I hadn't bothered to listen to it because I was just like, do I want to hear yet another fucking white broadcaster fucking being retarded? And
she said, can't have this argument. She's upset. She can't have that. Yet again, I can't have this discussion about why I can't say the N-word.
Wait, I didn't hear it till the end. Was that the end of it?
No, there's a little more.
Okay, because I want to talk about when she talks about in the beginning, the first thing she says is, okay, what was the racist thing? And the woman said, you know, the guy keeps asking me, do black people this and do black people that? Now, I can understand why somebody would think that that's not racist. The thing is as the person who's getting asked the questions, you can feel all you see is this in me. Like, Keith, your father who came over, all he did was ask me, what do Jews do about this? What about this and the Jew thing? And I kept saying, like, you know, I'm not really that involved, you know? And I can just sense...
First thing he brought up to Hemda was, like, I'm going to a garage sale. Do I make up a price lower than I really want so that it evens out at the price that I'm acceptable with?
But, you know, to him, he wasn't asking me racist questions. He was asking me about my language, my heritage. I get it.
Right.
So it's hard to be like, well, he is, you know, he is getting to know me. But at the same time, this is all he's seeing. That's how I'm feeling.
Right.
All you're seeing is that your son is dating a Jew. That's all you can come up with. I mean, never mind that you're visiting New York. You know, you grew up in New York. How about the fact that I'm a New Yorker? That's an easy one.
Right.
You know, there's other things about it. So you can feel, you can sort of feel racism, even though it's not directly a racist thing to say. He's not going, hey, Kike, you know, I hear, you know, you people do or don't have horns, you know. That's so extreme that everybody could just see it's racist. But that just felt like, is this the only thing?
How about
you know?
The fact that this woman's offended, period?
Yeah, and that her, you know, it's so funny because the first thing you want to say to all these people, and that's why at some point in our book it was difficult for Keith and I to write because our responses to people was, hey, how about you talk to your spouse about that, you know? And if your spouse isn't on your side, that's weird, you know?
Right.
Like, if I were to say to Keith, you know, tell your father lay off because I'm offended, he wouldn't go, you know, honey, you just have to be a little less sensitive. If I'm offended, I'm offended.
Right.
The whole thing, she's totally racist. Can I say this? The thing is, Dr. Laura is so racist that the woman said, when a guy comes in and talks to me about being black, like he asked me this and that about black, I feel like it's racist. And then she immediately is like, well, black people voted for Obama. That's how racist she is. That's fucking super racist.
Marry out of your race, people are going to say, okay, what do blacks think? What do whites think? What do Jews think? What do Catholics think? Of course there isn't a one think, per se, but in general, there's think. And what I just heard from Jade is a lot of what I hear from black think. And it's really distressing and disturbing. And to put it in its context, she said the N-word, and I said on HBO, listening to black comics, you hear nigger, nigger, nigger.
Oh my God.
I didn't call
it. She's really, like, even if she's making a point, she's enjoying her saying that word.
Oh, she loves it.
You know how white people get. Like, I'm able to say it now. She's enjoying saying that.
I understand her point over here is that she wasn't saying it. She was saying that the people on HBO say it. That's her point right here.
I understand.
But at the same time, it's like, you're... you're just not a nice person to start with, so it's like,
right.
Fuck.
I know, but on top of that, when the lady was like, well, you said it three times, she's like, and I'll say it again. Nigga, nigga, nigga. I mean, that, oh my God. Man, I wish I had a fucking big spike condom dick for her or something. A spike dick.
That's what they're into.
To put inside her vagina.
Betty a nigger. Nice try, Jade.
Oh, my God.
Actually, sucky try. Need a sense of humor.
Yes, because she's hilarious.
Sense of humor. And answer the question. When somebody says, what do blacks think? Say, this is what I think. This is what I read that if you take a poll, the majority...
Come on, you wouldn't see like a comedy tour, though? Martin Lawrence, Chris Rock, and Dr. Laura Schlesinger? I'd be there front row.
I'll say it again. What? What did I say? I'll say it again in the back.
You know what's funny? You know that an apology is going to come the next day, but they tell her, you know, you have to apologize for this, and she's probably, are you kidding me?
Yeah, I'm wondering. She's so adamant about this. What is she apologizing for? You know, it's
right.
What's his face said nappy headed hoes,
oh, that's right.
And he was trying to be funny. It was an off the cuff remark. He's racist anyway. Whatever, I get it. He's apologizing because he's like, oh, I was insensitive. She's making a point over and over again. This is something that she highly believes in. You know, it's
right.
Like I'll tell you again. Why don't you let me talk? So why would she apologize for it?
Right.
Yes. Answer the question and discuss the issue. It's like we can't discuss anything without saying there's isms. We have to be able to discuss these things. We're people. Goodness gracious me.
All right, Kike.
hypersensitivity. Okay. Which is being bred by black activists.
Oh, wait, no. What?
Which is being bred by black activists.
Hypersensitivity.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
Wow, she's like, it's fault of black activists. It's like
really
feminists being breeding hypersensitivity,
right, okay,
about feminism.
Once we had a black president, the attempt to demonize whites hating blacks would stop. But it seems to have grown.
Does she usually talk like this? Just very...
She's very, very slow and snotty.
Oh,
yeah.
She is? Yeah.
So basically she's saying, look, black people, we gave you the presidency. Calm down.
Yes, I do. It's all about power. I do get it. It's all about power. And that's sad. Because what should be in power is not power, but righteousness, to do good.
What?
That should be the greatest power.
I don't know what
she's
saying,
though. Jennifer, welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Laura. Somehow I knew I would be next, and I'd get you all riled up.
I'm not riled up. It takes more than that to rile me up these days.
Okay, it takes more than that to rile me up these days. Okay, very good. Well, Dr. Laura, of course, ended up apologizing. She's under fire for repeated use of the N-word on her show the other week. She said last night, she was on Larry King last night, and she said that she is not going to renew her contract when it expires in the end of the year, as though she has a choice. The 63-year-old broadcaster, 63, told CNN's Larry King that she wants to work on regaining my First Amendment rights. So she apologized, but now she's saying that was my First Amendment right. She stressed she was not retiring, saying, I'm too young for that. So she's not going to do her show, but she's not retiring.
Well, she's got a lot of other things, though.
Many things she can do.
It has nothing to do with regaining her First Amendment rights. She's not going to jail for what she said.
Right.
Her First Amendment is holding strong. She was allowed to say it. She said what she said, and she's just suffering the repercussions.
That's true,
First
actually.
First Amendment, congratulations.
That is very true.
No, it's 100% true.
It's a great point, though. You did get to exercise that, and then your sponsors decided, no, thank you. But
exactly.
You have the right to do that.
Yeah, she has the right to say whatever she wants to, and everybody who sponsors her can be like, you're fucking crazy, bitch. I got to get out of here.
She's been in talk radio for 30 years. She set off a firestorm while talking to an African-American caller about how to deal with racist comments from her white husband's friends and relatives. Schlesinger used the N-word 11 times during the five-minute call. Still, though, good for her. She's lucky. I was attempting to make a philosophical point, and I articulated the N-word all the way out. More than one time, she slowly and dumbly said. And that was wrong. I'll say it again. That was wrong. But she told King that she feels her right to freedom of speech had been usurped by angry, hateful groups. Her program is heard on XM satellite radio as well as over-ear stations across the country.
If you have the right to speak one way, people have the right to react one way. That's right. Fine. Just whatever, dude.
She's insane.
You hear that? Victor tells you,
Dr.
whatever,
Laura
dude.
Is lame.
Yeah, her apology was, yesterday I did the wrong thing. All slow and dramatic. I didn't intend to hurt people, but I did. And that makes it the wrong thing to have done. I was attempting to make a philosophical point. Very deep, she is. And I articulated the N-word all the way out, more than one time. And that was wrong.
Prince Valiant said she would have hit an even 12 if she hadn't been interrupted.
Oh, Wells. What a dumb.
And Katie H. from Atlanta. Dr. Laura isn't a medical doctor nor a psychologist. Her PhD is in physiology, which has nothing to do with anything she talks about.
Wow. That's great to hear. That's so crazy.
What is physiology? What is that?
That's the body and bodily functions, physical. It has to do with physical physiology.
Start talking to her about poop.
Yeah. She's like, how do I poop, Dr. Laura? Yeah, I want to talk about politics.
Wyclef Jean, we said he's going to run for... He's seeing if he can. And he wants to... it's serious that he wants to run for president of Haiti. Which, quite frankly, honestly, I wouldn't... If I had to live in Haiti, I would not give up America to be the president or the ruler of Haiti.
If you can sit in your seat and rule from the KTG house, you would do it.
Then I would do it, sure. And that's what I think Wyclef Jean is seeing if he can do. He can Skype over laws.
Dude, but Haiti's full of cocaine and AIDS. Come on, man.
hip-hop artist Wyclef Jean, he's from the Fugees, right? Has he done things lately? Is he producing?
I don't really follow it.
Hip-hop artist Wyclef Jean says he's in hiding after receiving death threats as he wants to find out if he'll be allowed to run for president in Haiti's November election. Already you're getting death threats from Haitians about you being president.
But why? Like what?
Because he's not...
I bet it's from another political group. Because here's the thing. Wyclef Jean is a huge celebrity. Worldwide celebrity.
Right.
There's no way he's going to run in Haiti and lose. So any political group who's like there and have been like working their whole lives to be mayor. I mean, not mayor of Haiti.
Right.
I'm sorry. But
might as well be
president of Haiti. They're just like, oh, fuck. Wyclef Jean is going to come in and they're going to fucking play the Fugees at his rallies and everybody's going to vote for him because he's a famous Haitian.
You know, you mentioned mayor. I would sooner be run for Mayor McCheese than president of Haiti. The musician disclosed the threats in a series of emails to the Associated Press, revealing few details. Jean said that he was told to get out of Haiti and that he was in hiding in a secret location in the Caribbean country. The Haitian-born Wyclef Jean said he did not know whether Haiti's Electoral Commission, known as the CEP, would approve his candidacy, but he definitely wants to run. Haitian's electoral board has decided to push back until August 20th its release of the final list of presidential candidates.
They decided to push it back, yes. Their decision. They're like, well, let's see if he survives. You know, we'll make a decision.
Haiti's constitution, as it stands now, requires their president to have lived in Haiti for at least 5 consecutive years.
Oh, okay. So, well, that makes sense, right?
You should.
Yeah, you really should.
You really don't respect the country. Right. You don't live here. I'm ready to, I didn't even think, even though I'm from Haiti, I didn't think about it until that reissue of We Are the World.
Well, I'll come to Haiti if I can be president.
Yeah. Right. You know what? If he can't be president, he's not going there. I promise you that.
That is a very good point.
Thank you.
I'm just going to point out all the good points today.
You guys are smart. It just hit me. 5 years. She's paying attention. You guys know what you're talking about.
What
sometimes.
Is that? A full sentence? Like it.
Hey, remember we were talking about... Social Security numbers, and it's been there's been a study, and your Social Security number might not be unique to you. They reissue these sometimes. Anyway, this person, and then we read like how they figure it out. The first 3 digits is from the state that you were born in. The second 2 digits, I forget, or maybe that's the state you were born in. But anyway, the middle digits are never 00.
Right.
Just the way it is. This guy wrote this on the forums. Stuped is his name. If that article on Social Security numbers is right, then the company I work for is hosting retirement accounts for a fuck ton of people with fake Social Security numbers. I searched our system while listening and found hundreds of numbers with the two middle digits being 00.
Shut up.
XXX, 00, you know, XXXX. If that's the two middle numbers the article was talking about, that's a little scary. That's absolutely true. And people are like, all right, well, fucking look into this. And I agree, man. This is the stuff of movies, and this opportunity comes once in a lifetime. He says, I'm at the bottom of the ladder, so it's not my position to care. It is worth noting, though, that many of the invalid SSNs are of government employees of cities, towns, and countries throughout this nation.
You know what I just discovered? That whistleblowers get a percentage of how much, like, if you blow the whistle on, like, a $5 million bullshit scam, then you get a percentage of the $5 million.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Blowing the whistle to whom?
But like to,
I think the I think it has to do with the government.
Ah.
Just so to encourage people, if you know something, you know, pass it over to us. And some of them have immunity because of it, even if you're involved. But that depends. You know, it's not guaranteed. But yeah, whistleblowers get some commission.
You're sitting on something, man. If you're bored today at work, shame on you. This is exciting. Going into hiding. Get a separate hotel room. A lot of shit happens. You're gonna meet Julia Roberts and go on adventures and helicopters. Some shit's gonna go down.
Make sure you know how to say sassy things while you're shooting a gun, though.
Right.
Otherwise,
right.
No one's gonna follow your story.
That's all. I wish I found this out.
Are you kidding? That would make me so nervous.
Hey, oh my God, the Expendables had one of my favorite lines ever when someone's shooting a gun.
Somebody said...
Favorite line.
Someone said...
No, it was Terry Crews. Best line of the movie. There were a bunch of guys, they're getting their asses beat. There were so many soldiers, and they're getting their asses beat. Terry Crews comes in with an automatic shotgun and starts from behind the soldiers that are killing everybody and just blows all the soldiers away and then saves everybody with his automatic shotgun. And then he goes, y'all better remember this shit at Christmas. Fucking best line.
Remember when Snooki from the Jersey Shore was arrested for disorderly conduct?
I remember everything that woman ever does.
Snooki!
Well, she's being charged with disorderly conduct, public nuisance, which she is. I watched the show. And, by the way, it's on tonight. I'm not going to miss it. And
see why he can't come to karaoke, Victor?
Yeah, I can't make it, but thank you for the invite.
I got it on DVR.
I have to see it live like I'm there. I pretend it's all live. She's also being charged with, ready for this, criminal annoyance. If convicted of all three charges, that's a charge. She could face up to $2,000 in fines, but given she has a clean criminal record, it'll be unlikely that she'll have to pay that much. She'll probably pay about $500 in fines for all three offenses. As long as you film it for me, I like this whole thing.
Oh my God, criminal annoyance. Of course, if anybody's going to get charged with criminal annoyance, of course it's her. The funny thing is, I'd like to meet the person who got that law put into place in the first place. It was probably just like worse than Snooki.
It's like, man,
it was a 2-year-old, but he's annoying.
Yeah, you are so fucking annoying. It's criminal. There ought to be a law. I was watching, we had this little SummerSlam party the other day, and I'm about to buy it on the pay-per-view. So, you know, I just guess like in the 300s where pay-per-view is. And I'll put this picture on the website also. I just thought it was interesting. This is a show. I almost bought this instead. Ghetto Fight 6 Extreme Hood Battles.
Oh, I want to see that.
It's only $10. Maybe we'll have a party around that.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Uncensored extreme fight footage. Ghetto Fight 6. Now, I don't know if you have to start in order if you're going to be able to follow the story.
Pay-per-view bought that?
Yeah.
Did pay-per-view a lot? Well, pay-per-view doesn't have to buy things. You can... If you just have a distributor who has a deal with pay-per-view already, you can just put stuff up. It doesn't matter. They don't have to approve it.
Oh, so your DVD distribution company can put it up?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh.
Or you can put it up yourself. Like, you can just post things on pay-per-view for a fee. And then, oh, yeah, absolutely.
Shut up.
You know what? Did you hear? I guess I didn't play that part. Dr. Laura was saying, I find it interesting. I'm watching Ghetto Fight 6, Extreme Hood Battles. They can say nigger. And I'm like, oh, that's. I don't think you get it.
You want to fight me, nigga? Take your rings off. Take your rings off. Let's go.
I'll put Vaseline on my face. It's like, well, why can they say it? Jerry O'Connell has been warned. The actor plays a softcore pornographic filmmaker. In Piranha 3D, which I'm excited to see. It looks cheesy, and it reminds me very much of My Bloody Valentine in 3D, which I thought was fantastic. These, when they're made for 3D, and Yeah. The fish is going to be coming at your face. I'm all in for this one.
Yeah, I'm ready for Piranha 3D2.
But he's not supposed to say he's playing Joe Francis, the founder of Girls Gone Wild. For legal reasons, Jerry O'Connell says, I'm supposed to say I play someone loosely based on Joe Francis. Then Joe Francis's lawyer wrote a letter to the Weinstein Company, which produces the horror flick, said, we caution all of those associated with this film to refrain from maligning Mr. Francis. Any defamatory or disparaging statements will be met with swift litigation. This is the guy that records underage girls taking off their clothes. And I know he put hidden cameras in people's houses. A lot of shady shit. And worse shit I'm not remembering right now. Absolutely spend time in jail. But don't smear his bad name.
Well, there's got to be some kind of law, and I'm just guessing, that if he was charged with it and he spent time in jail, then, you know, we have all the information and we can use that information because that's fact. Or do you still have permission? Can you use his facts?
He's a well-known public figure, and they're not using his name in the movie, obviously. They're not going to say, this is a specific guy. They're not going to do that. So they can do a parody of him as much as they want to, and there's nothing he can do about it. I think they're just trying to grab publicity, because they can do a parody of him, and it doesn't fucking matter. So fuck that dude.
I saw a daily from that movie, and I saw the one, there's this guy, Bo Francis. And he goes around. You remember Rod Blagojevich?
No.
Well, a federal jury deadlocked yesterday on all but one of 24 charges against former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich, including trying to sell an appointment to President Obama's old Senate seat. So he's the guy who's trying to... Senator Obama, you know, becomes president. That seat's vacant. And he was trying to do... supposedly there's phone calls. He's trying to do shady deals to actually sell the seat.
Yeah, no way to get caught on that one.
Right. You know, everybody's saving all these phone messages, you idiot. You might know... If you don't know who I'm talking about, I'm talking about the guy from Celebrity Apprentice. You know, he was on like 5 reality shows. He probably danced with the stars. He's probably a star. He was convicted on a single less serious count of lying to federal agents. So what are you lying about? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Prosecutors pledged to retry the case as soon as possible, which I don't get the court system at all.
It just sounds like they don't have enough evidence.
You're found not guilty. Okay, I'm going to sue him again then. Can't we put an end to this? I appeal. Well, now I appeal. I didn't like it. No, you already agreed.
How come they don't bug any of the people who are trying to buy the seat?
Right.
Well, were they trying to buy it, or was he just offering it to them and he didn't get any buyers?
He's doing like a little door-to-door. He's like, hey, what's up, everybody? I got a senator seat.
He says that the jury shows...
I almost bought it, but the email really looked like a scam. It just looked like I would get a virus.
Doug is telling me he wasn't found not guilty, per se. He was found that it was a mistrial. The jury shows you that the government threw everything at me but the kitchen sink. One juror said the panel was deadlocked 11-1 in favor of convicting Blagojevich of trying to auction off the Senate seat. So just one person it takes. One person? You're always going to have at least one fucking idiot.
So it has to be unanimous?
I guess so.
Really?
Yeah.
When he's doing something, obviously he's doing something wrong.
Something's going on.
He's obviously like, well, there were a couple of offers out to the seat, and one person is just like, eh.
Like, we do agree that he was lying to us the whole time, but Steven Tyler, this really looks like it's going to happen.
Are you convinced now?
I am, and I'm shocked. I would have lost money on this bet. He's going to be a judge on American Idol.
That's hard to believe.
To me, that's
really hard to believe.
I'm not exaggerating. That's John Lennon being on American Idol to me. This Steven Tyler from Aerosmith is going to be a judge on American Idol.
It's really fucking strange. It is very strange.
It just doesn't feel like... It feels so off. It feels like it doesn't belong. It feels like, what does he get out of it? If it's money, really? Do you really need money? Right. If it's more fame, I mean, come on. I guess, you know, he's like, oh, well, let's get this new, younger demographic. It's like, not so much.
Your word's out. Word's out on the street, yeah. Aerosmith.
I don't know. Is he bored? Does he want, like, really young girls? I don't understand the deal. I mean, I know, like, fame is addicting, right? That's the addicting part, right?
But let's just go on tour again.
Doesn't he walk down the street and someone recognizes him?
Right.
Yeah, but now even more people are going to recognize him, and he doesn't have to fucking go on tour. He's probably too old to break a hip, like, on stage now.
You know what? He did get hurt last time he was on tour.
There you go. His body's falling apart.
One celeb who has consistently stayed connected to Idol in the headlines is Aerosmith's Steven Tyler, and according to the band's bassist, Tom Hamilton, Tyler's deal to judge the Fox competition is done. Hamilton spoke with New Jersey newspaper for an interview that won't be available in its totality until August 23rd, but this is from it. Steven is doing American Idol. The ink is dry on that.
Whoa.
The band, remember this? Joe Perry, the guitarist, was in an interview, and these guys never talk to each other, by the way. And Joe Perry said, yeah, I just heard in an interview Steven Tyler saying he's going to do American Idol. We didn't know that. That's how you hear your band is done. We didn't know that. Steven is someone who absolutely lives to be in front of an audience, like Victor said, and the people closest to him know how witty and entertaining he can be. I don't picture him saying anything negative in the least, by the way. I don't know if American Idol will be rock and roll enough for him. I doubt it.
Really? Somebody's wondering about that, if it will be or won't be?
But it is an opportunity for millions of people to see another side of Steven Tyler. I doubt it. I doubt you're seeing another side of him.
Yeah, he's going to be, I don't know if that's rock and roll enough for me, so...
Everything's good. You're doing good. He's not a prick. He's not going to Simon Cowell any of these people.
I don't know. It doesn't matter really because, yeah, he's not going to be a super prick, but none of it is going to be his music or his kind of music. You know, these people are singing Celine Dion, I'm assuming. I never saw the show, but I doubt that they're doing, you know, a bunch of covers. I'm sure that they'll have a day, you know, where everything is, you know, his music and whatever, But what's he going to say? Oh, that Somewhere Over the Rainbow, you did it so magically and perfectly, and I remember getting stoned to it when I was a kid.
I just needed to take your singing and jack that up a notch.
I just hope he hates everything. That'd be great.
That would be
this
great.
This is a shitty song. You're a shitty singer. I'm Steven Tyler.
Yeah. I wrote Dream On. Next. A brainy beauty wants to expose the creep who slimed her as a whore on YouTube. Carla, everybody disagrees with me when I say this. I like that she's doing this. Carla Franklin, a former model with degrees from Duke and Columbia, is going after Google in an attempt to unmask the cyberbully who talked trash about her under three aliases of the company's wildly popular video sharing site. I like it. Can't people be nice? Everybody laughs at me when I say this, because this happened before. People hide behind these shields and think you can just post anything, says the lawyer. Hopefully we can put a stop to this. She's a 2008 graduate of Columbia Business School. She works as a consultant, was alerted to the slurs after her friends checked her out in a series of YouTube videos. According to the suit filed in Manhattan Supreme Court, Joe Bloom 08, Jimmy Jean 008, and Gray Specter 09.
Oh, he changed it up a little bit.
Posted malicious and untrue statements about Franklin on YouTube. Isn't it funny though? You go to court and you got to explain why you're not a whore. I'm a liberated woman, Your Honor, not a whore. Malicious and untrue statements about Franklin on YouTube, along with unauthorized clips from a movie in which she appeared. This obviously is very upsetting to her, said the lawyer. Franklin, who graduated from Duke in 1999 with degrees in biology and psychology, so she can't be a whore, appeared in several YouTube videos put up by Columbia Business School that show her traveling to Africa and offering advice to incoming MBA students, saying, "Don't take things so seriously," in one clip.
Wait, let me ask you this. She has a YouTube channel.
Some of
the comments are by this guy pretending to be three different people going, oh, this woman's a whore.
Yes.
And she's suing for that.
Yes. I like it.
I understand why you like it.
Why is your freedom
why
of speech?
Why do you like it? I don't understand why you like it. I just think it's dumb.
He likes it.
Be nice.
Be nice. But your whole show is about not being nice, by the way, Keith.
I should be sued daily.
I just feel like you should take it. You know, no one else is taking the YouTube comments as seriously as you're taking it. This is just a personal thing.
Not to mention, you can turn off comments.
Right. But then you don't. But it's a shame you have to do that.
Oh, so you think he should just be nice?
Yeah, I think people should just be nice.
Why? Why can't he just say, you suck?
I know, because it's important, right?
I agree.
It's important that he says
Look,
that.
Look, I agree that I prefer when people are nice, but I think everybody has a right to be an asshole. I mean, you can be an asshole just the way people react to it. I mean, it's a fucking YouTube comment. Fuck that.
You know what? I would like to vote on that.
I would vote on your balls.
What? See, now that's rude, for example, and I'm suing you. I think we should be able to vote. Hey, the people, I would vote that people do not have a right to be an asshole. How's that
what?
A right for God? That's right. I would.
No, people don't have a right to be an asshole?
That is
You're
correct.
You're voting against yourself. You're voting against yourself.
If everybody's willing to be nice, I'm willing to be nice.
Oh, really? You're just so full of shit now.
I'm just trying to get along in this world.
But then how do you know? I mean, what about perception? What if somebody does something and you think it's not nice, and then suddenly you're not nice, and then they're like, what are you doing? I wasn't being that mean.
Yeah, you spew out your negative opinion all the time, and you do it in your own space, and you're allowed to do it. And anyone who doesn't want to hear it can turn it off. But I don't think they should sue you.
Exactly. I'll say it again. Nigga, nigga, nigga.
Franklin. You're just letting her know that black people do talk like that.
Yes.
Franklin is employing the same legal strategy used by a model, Liskulu Cohen. I believe we talked about this. It was last year. She successfully got Google to unmask the rival who trashed the CoverGirl as a skank and an old hag. Hey, is that okay then? Let's say not suing per se, but hey, Google, can you tell me who this person is? And they tell you. They look up the information and tell you. Are you okay with that?
I don't care.
Ballbuster 69 is bad mouthing.
I never say anything. I'm not afraid to stand behind. And right. I think that if you are going to do stuff online, like you have to. I mean, you could fine reveal their identity, but why not? I don't think that's a big problem. I don't care.
Okay.
I'm amazed that people write things online thinking that they are going to be anonymous. Yeah. You know, I thought of maybe like starting a Twitter account and only following the people that I don't want them to know that I'm following right. them because, you know, it's like I just don't want it. Not for any crazy reason. And then I thought, you know what? How the fuck do you get away with anything like that? You don't. You don't. It could always lead back to you. Always. I'm amazed.
And it's easy to.
I'm amazed at places that say, oh, you can anonymously tell your secrets. And it's like, you know what? I thought of posting it there, you know, just to unleash my whatever the fuck. And then I thought, no, somebody's going to look it up and somebody's going to find me.
Like those secret sites like My Dad Rate Me.
I love those.
And they
yeah.
put it on a cute postcard.
Yeah. Yeah. And I did that via postcard. There was a little, you know, thing in Brooklyn. It was a little art piece, and you get to write your...
Oh, it's live. It's that thing, but it's in person.
Exactly. It's in person, and you get an index card, and you write on it. And guess what? Chemda wrote in not her handwriting, because that's another way that it could lead back. And I put it under some stuff. So if somebody walked over and they saw that I was the last person to put it in, I don't know who knows me and who doesn't right. know me. So I shuffled it around. I don't know if I would do it anymore now, you know, because I... You know, without knowing, I'm standing next to somebody who knows me, you know? So you're not anonymous.
What you need to do is go to a public terminal, like at a library, where so that your IP address is different, so people don't know you, and then register your account from there, and then write your death threats to the president.
Look at Victor. I think he's part of this Social Security scam. Something's going on. It's a tactic increasingly used by people offended by the internet, including a New Jersey cop who was vilified by comments on a news site and a Louisiana official who didn't care for being labeled a politician thug mobster. Of course, I'm going to have trouble reading that.
He's definitely not allowed in Victor's party.
Now Franklin has joined the ranks. She seeks to have Google and YouTube turn over the names, addresses, and phone numbers of whoever labeled her a whore.
See, that's a bit much. You shouldn't have my address.
She wants to make sure this doesn't happen anymore or to anyone else. I think it's nice. Good. Google did not return a request for comment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in all fairness, you know these papers. Like, hey, Google, you there? I'm busy right now. Nah, they didn't want to comment. I'll call you after lunch. No, that's good. I never really cared in the first place. I'm out of space in the article. I'd kind of upset me if you had a comment.
I'd have to rewrite this thing.
Right, I'm already done. Could you? Don't worry, my phone number's. Oh, I'm losing connection. Click. Remember the Craigslist killer? He ended up killing himself. Philip Markov. He crafted a ghoulish shrine for his former fiance before killing himself in a Massachusetts jail. Markov spread pictures of Megan McAllister on a small table in his cell and then used a primitive scalpel, in quotes, to stab himself to death early Sunday.
Ooh.
Oh.
That's hardcore.
The DA is saying that's the ultimate indicator of consciousness of guilt. We hope, because can we just put this to rest and say he definitely did it?
Ooh.
How
many stabs did they say? Because it sounds like that would be a lot.
It doesn't, but the DA confirmed that Markov wrote the words Megan and Pocket on the door of a cell in his own blood in an apparent tribute to McAllister. It's not known what the word pocket means. Markoff was accused of slaying Manhattan masseuse Julissa Brisman, 26. She hooked up with Markoff on April 14, 2009, after he answered her ad in the erotic services section of Craigslist. So dangerous. It's so dangerous. Mm-hmm.
Doesn't pocket mean a compartment in your pants?
Well, so look through the pockets, but maybe there's some other clue about another body. Surveillance footage outside Markov's cell showed he was alive until at least 1:59 a.m. Sunday.
They should study his brain if it's possible. That's absolute insanity.
Some
with a primitive scalpel. How primitive does that mean? It's like a rock, or is it like a?
Yeah, like
did he make a scalpel out of a spoon?
Something like that. It sounds like right a toothbrush.
Oof!
Shit.
God, oh my God, I'm just picturing like, ooh, that one hurt.
Yeah.
Oh, I gotta do it again, gotta do it again. Oh, yep, that one hurt too.
What was it? Remember, I think is he still in a hospital or being looked at? Artie Lang, the comedian, you know, big fat comedian. He stabbed himself, supposedly tried to commit suicide, who knows? But he's still alive. He's stabbing himself like over 30 times, something like that. Like,
was it that much, really?
Yeah, oh yeah. So after 22, okay. Pills. I'm going pills.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, it sounds like a cry for help, or you didn't mean to really do it. You know what I mean? But after stab 30 doesn't work, I'm jumping off buildings.
You know what, though? After stab 5, I believe you're trying to kill yourself.
Yeah, who knows?
Unless the stabs, you know, form some sort of map to something, I think you're trying to kill yourself.
You're already very depressed. You start stabbing yourself and you can't after 25 times. Now you're even set. God, I am a fat fuck.
Not only that, you need motivation to stab yourself that many times.
I think that just adds to your idea about just people should just be nice. Because Artie Lang is like known for not being nice to people and just builds up a lot of hate of himself, I guess. And fucking just trying to kill himself. So people should just be nice or else you'll kill yourself.
See? You point one finger.
I don't know that just added up.
You point a finger at somebody. Jeez. Three are pointing back at you.
And one is making a thumbs up.
Right. A suspected mobster was busted by Italian police after he surfaced to visit his mom's home for lunch. You've seen these movies. Goodfellas. They're criminals, but I gotta go home and see Ma.
Your mama, she wants you to come over. You're not gonna come over to Mom? I make the meatballs. Oh, I guess if she made the meatballs. If you don't come, you don't make them the meatballs. What am I going to do with all the meatballs I gave to the neighbor? Come over. Disrespecting your mama.
Cops are being hailed as having this year's first stereotypical arrest.
Yeah, don't profile.
We got a mobster going home to his mama for meatballs. Yay.
You know how like they send out letters to criminals like, you want a TV? Come to the jail, dumb dunce. And they go, okay, where's my TV? In the cell. But that's what happened here. Like, free pasta, mobsters. Okay. Rosario Scagnamillo, a 39-year-old accused of being a high-ranking member of the mafia, went on the lam in May, but he returned to his mother's home in Naples, unable to resist the temptations of her home-cooked food.
Now he's going to get good.
Yeah, now he's going to get jail food. And let me tell you what pasta is in jail. I saw Goodfellas. It's fucking noodles. They call that pasta. It's ketchup. They call that sauce. It's disgusting. It's the worst part of being in jail.
Was that part of Goodfellas, really?
At the end, he's complaining about he had it all, and now he just gets shit.
It's noodles and ketchup.
Yeah. A young Florida mom has taken a hit for posting a photo of her baby holding a bong on Facebook. She's 19 years old. Rachel Steringer from Keystone Heights, Florida, was arrested and charged with one count of possession of drug paraphernalia. And this baby, how old's the baby? 11-month-old son.
Wow.
Really? And we'll put up pictures of pictures. I took some ridiculous pictures with a friend of ours' baby. This, but I didn't have the baby smoke. Look at it.
Looks like he knows what to do with that bong.
Right.
Baby.
Like, really hold it. I think the finger's in the carburetor.
Oh, shit.
Look at what they wrote on the picture. They're so ridiculous.
Hey, that sure is a dopey pacifier.
You're the fired. News.
No, they love that shit.
A photograph of her 11-month-old son playing with a large green bong shot across the internet and prompted a concerned citizen to alert Florida authorities. KeithandTheGirlTV.com. You can see the TV show where we have some fun with a baby. But I kind of wondered, like, is the parents of that baby going to get in some kind of trouble related to this? And I don't think so, because I'm telling you what not to do.
Yeah, but you're sticking the baby in the oven, and then it goes, don't do that.
Don't do that. She's doing this like it's funny.
I believe you gave the baby a bong in that...
I said, no, do not smoke with the baby. This mom's saying, like, yeah, smoke with the baby.
Well, KTGTV.com.
She says it was a joke. If you look at the picture, you can see that there is no bowl in the tobacco pipe. You're going to jail for being a bitch, you lying bitch. That's not for tobacco. Can you imagine? You would die, you fucking smoke tobacco out of a bong.
Yeah, but what that picture shows is that she has smoked in front of her baby, and that's how her baby knows where to put its face.
Yeah.
You think an 11-year-old or just...
11-month-old?
11-month-old, or does she just prop the 11-month-old up there? I don't think 11-month-old...
I think kids learn by watching pretty early, and yeah. This is 11 months. It's almost a year old.
He's holding his own. Yeah, you'll see this picture. He's holding where you put the weed in. He has his hand around the bong, his other hand, and his mouth right in it. I think Victor's right.
I feel bad for her because I think they're probably going to take away her baby, which is fucked up. But she's fucking stupid.
Right. Yeah.
She is so dumb.
Yeah. There are worse things that you can do. And hopefully, you know, she's not constantly smoking and taking care of your baby because that's stupid. But taking away your baby is really fucking harsh.
Well, I think they should. Yeah. Listen to this quote. And this is, I understand I don't run the country. But she says, I took a picture to show one fucking person and it was a mistake. I would never, ever, ever let him get high.
Oh, boy.
You wouldn't ever let your baby get high. I wouldn't even know to say that.
And how do you justify that you were only doing it to show one person when you posted it on Facebook?
After drug test, well, she was high and clicked the wrong button. After drug testing the little boy, authorities confirmed that the baby didn't get high. But they said they couldn't understand where the mom was coming from. We are alarmed that any parent would take pictures of the child next to what is obviously drug paraphernalia.
You know what, though? They're probably going to give back the baby because the baby wasn't high and there's nothing really that they can hold him for. But the government is now going to be in your life for quite some time.
Keep an eye on her.
They are keeping an eye on her.
The quote's enough. I would never, ever, ever let him get high. Again, I wouldn't even be able to think to say that.
I mean, just half a smoke, maybe.
Right, right.
But never high.
If he's going to do it with mom.
He needs to relax. I mean, he does a lot of baby stuff and he gets tense.
It's like the fat kids on Maury and all that shows. It's like, why don't you give him vegetables? He hates vegetables. He cries if I don't give him another Big Mac. I hate to see him sad.
I'm surprised they don't take the babies away from those heavily, overly, crazily obese kids because I think that's abuse. You don't know how to take care of your baby. What do you mean he doesn't want to eat anything but McDonald's? Trust me, he'll eat eventually.
Right now, she's taking parenting and drug counseling classes. Parenting classes. You have to show my video. Do not stick your baby in the oven. By the way, I'm not saying I'm the best caregiver. I thought it'd be fun, like the baby, I don't remember, the baby cold or wet or something, you know, still don't stick in the oven. Obviously, I'm not going to cook this baby, but I was thinking, all right, take a video of me turning on the stove, okay?
The oven.
Then the oven. Then we'll turn it off, and then take a video of me putting the baby in. And the dad was there. He's like, why don't you do that in the opposite order? I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, like, there could be editing for that. He must have watched the baby video that they show you in the hospital.
When I did, like, the fifth thing with the baby, he's like, okay, I think we're good. I think we're good on filming. I think I'm getting a divorce, and I think we're good.
It was the first time, by the way, that the dad was left alone without the mom with the baby. And meanwhile, the baby's getting put in the oven. And
right. And I was excited. I think I knew this day was coming up, too.
Yeah.
And I'm borrowing really video cameras and everything.
Apparently, there was a whole thing with the family that did that had the baby in the Hangout. Remember the movie, The Hangover?
Oh, yeah.
They used that baby, and then they kept going to the parents, like, can we do this? Can we do this? And the parents were just like, you know, like a little show busy. So they're like, oh, yeah, it's fine, whatever. Yeah. And that's why they have the baby, like, pretending to jack off and all kinds of stuff in the movie. Because they kept asking them if they could do more and more stuff. And the people were just like, oh, sure, sure.
Whatever. Yeah, I wondered if that's weird. Like, are you being you know, hey, it made me laugh, so fuck it. But,
no,
you know,
it was hilarious.
That baby might not want to be in a movie called The Hangover, you know, where all this shit's going on. You know, I'm sure they didn't really bang his head into a car door, but I don't know. You're running for president and you're the kid in The Hangover jerking off. That's all I'm saying.
Victor, would you let your son be the baby in The Hangover with all the stuff involved? Would you let all that stuff fly?
Yeah, I mean, that's the type of stuff I would do with my own baby. I mean, I would make him look like he's jacking off. I think it'd be hilarious.
But I didn't think it was such a big deal. It's so shocking that it's funny.
Yeah, exactly. But it's not actually, you're not actually hurting the baby or degrading the baby. It's just like a joke for this movie. And so, anytime I do anything with anybody, I always make sure everything's like 100% safe. So that's, just the way it is.
But you can't check with the baby if he's cool with it, though.
No, you can't.
He's giggling. I held up a plastic duck, and he's all laughs. So he must like it. Remember, what is it, Brat? And what was the one after that? People didn't like it as much. I thought it might be almost better. He's the gay guy, right? He's the gay character?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sacha Baron Cohen's the gay character. Anyway, yeah,
whatever his name was.
Right.
Yeah, well, it must have put a real impression on you. You loved it?
So, right. Yeah.
Bruno,
okay. So, remember the scene where Bruno's asking these parents?
Yeah.
You know, it's a real scene, asking these parents, is it okay to do all these things with your baby? And I forget, but it was the craziest thing, starving your baby, dragging your baby
thing
in mud.
I thought was one of the craziest things, like you said, I can't remember, so if there's something crazier, right. Then yes, I agree, it was crazier, was these are infants, and it's like, will you have your baby lose 5 or 10 pounds?
Right.
Now, baby only weighs but so much. He's like, oh, yeah. Can we dye your baby's hair?
Somebody said, dye your baby's hair, for God's sakes. You can't do that. You can't even dye your... That's insane. And what the losing weight was a concerned parent who said, yeah, maybe we could try some things, but if that's the last resort, absolutely. There was one where we want to do scenes with lions. Could you have your baby be in a lion pen? Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Oh.
Amazing. An intoxicated and pregnant...
See, now what's better? The child who gets to grow up and go, oh, my parents let me jack off. Or the child who grows up going, wow, my parents would have really just done anything to make the money off me.
Right. An intoxicated and pregnant woman tried to hold up a Taco John's.
Taco John's. I love Taco John's.
You know Taco John's?
Yeah, I do. I like it.
Fast food, sounds like?
Mm-hmm.
What is that? It's
like a Taco Bell, pretty much.
Is that Southern or Western? Or?
This is in Wisconsin.
Oh. Yeah, it's up, that's where, Minnesota, you know where I'm from.
Mm-hmm. Taco John's with a hammer, she tried to hold it up.
She's pregnant and drunk.
The 38-year-old woman told the cashier, ready? This is a quote, I want a soft shell and this is a stick up, give me all your money. Which is good, because you don't want to get all the money and then go, okay, and I'd like to buy a soft shell. I mean, you get everything at once and get the fuck out. Police said the woman then could not manage to get the hammer out of her pocket.
There are a whole bunch of 38-year-old women who are trying to get pregnant because it's like starting to border that line where you should really get pregnant now if you want to get pregnant, going, oh my God, she got pregnant, she was able to get pregnant, and now she's getting intoxicated and possibly, you know, fucking up her kid.
Yes. By the way, any 38-year-old women out there who want to get pregnant, just give me a call because I'm going to hook you up with a little bit dick.
You know what I read just somewhere? That people trying to make a baby, the average times they have to fuck before it works is about 150 times.
Not me. Not me, everybody.
The cashier pressed the restaurant's panic button and called 911 as the woman fled. So she's probably waiting there. You know, and she's like, hold on, we're making your taco. The average wait time is half hour today. Minutes later, police arrested the woman who had blood alcohol content more than twice the legal limit to drive.
Oh, God.
That's public annoyance.
Oh,
that poor baby. That's a worse off baby. Let's just
baby is incredibly bad off.
It was reported that the woman told police her roommate threatened to evict her if she didn't come up with money for crack cocaine.
Oh my God!
And the
her
cops,
whole life is all right.
The cops are writing this down. They're like, "Oh my God, do yourself the fucking favor. Shut the fuck up."
I wonder if she must have conceived of the plan while she was drunk.
You
She's
hope?
She's just like, "I'm gonna rob Taco John's."
No. It didn't start like that. Yeah, it'll be so good. A lot of people say ice cream and peanut butter, but not me. That fucking Taco John has me fucking pass my fucking purse. I'm gonna get a piece of taco. What do you mean there's no money in my purse? I'm fucking pregnant. Fuck that. I'm going over there. They gotta get a pregnant woman. Fucking Taco John. I'm pregnant. Yeah, you know what? If they give me, oh my God, if they give me Taco John, if they give me a taco.
Where is that hammer I used to open my dresser drawer?
I bet they give me money too because I'm pregnant. They give me seats on the bus. I go to Planned Parenthood. They give me free Planned Parenthood. This is brilliant. You're right. John passed me the hammer.
You think she said the word brilliant?
This sparkles in my eyes.
Police in France are looking for two attractive female thieves. who bared their...
We had a choice to go look for the ugly ones, but we did not want to, eh? No, huh?
I have tenure, and I'm going after the pretty ones. You get the ugly ones. They're looking for two attractive female thieves who bared their breasts at a man at a cash point to distract him from stealing his money, so like an ATM. So this guy... They're in the women are in their 20s, supposedly. This guy goes to an ATM, types in his PIN number. Another woman comes up to him, shows tits. Mm-hmm. The other woman takes out $300.
Okay.
There's How long one, are you staring there, at tits?
Yeah. There's another... there are similar things happening like that now. Like, for example, this woman was being taken out by a guy. She's really attractive. And he paid for a dinner, and all she had to do was blow him but for, like, a distraction. But she mm-hmm. got the dinner. It was lobster, too. Fuck. If you're staring at titties... Not paying attention to your ATM, and it takes and an ATM stole takes a while. $300.
Beep, beep, beep. Yeah. Like, oh, your fucking tits. Focus down here.
Right, $300 comes out in 15 bills.
Right,
that's 15. Dunk, dunk, dunk.
That right. is if you're in the ghetto where they only give 20s, because other places they give 50s and 100s. Do you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they do.
I don't think that's only
She's
ghetto.
She's only got her money in the ghetto.
No, ghetto
She's
gives
only got the money in the ghetto.
How many times was you, were your neighbors robbed?
A
no,
couple times.
Actually, in the ghetto, they give tens. That's
oh,
when
yeah,
you know
that's
you're
true.
In the real
exactly.
ghetto.
Exactly. Yeah, I've seen yeah. that, too. You can get out $10. They do that on college campuses, too, where you can give them out $10.
And they boast it. They boast it like, we give $10 bills because mm-hmm. some people only have $10 in their account and you can't take out anything from an ATM unless you find those.
That's the worst when you can see you're with, you have $19 in your
yeah.
bank.
Well, how about if you have $20 but you still can't take it out because it's a $2 fee right. to use the ATM?
What was the other story you're talking about with some girl like distracting
I'm
somebody with a blowjob?
Guys are distracted by females all the time and just hand them their money. That was my little joke.
Distracted by this.
The incident was captured on video.
Oh.
But the women cannot be identified. We would advise anyone withdrawing cash from a machine to focus on what they are doing and not allow themselves to be distracted, however attractive the view.
Oh, goodness.
The women couldn't be identified? That's weird.
Maybe they set it up where they're just out of camera.
Oh.
Because you don't have to be that close.
Or maybe the camera operator was male and just zoomed in on the boobs. It was like, boobs!
I saw this in the New York Post. It's a mistake that I kind of find funny. You know, they have this section, weird but true, and usually it's not so weird. Two dogs made out. You're like, all right. They didn't really have anything today. Well, anyway, this is weird but true. English teachers driving along this North Carolina road must have had a fit. A contractor hired to paint the word school in giant letters across the two-lane road in Greensboro spelled it S-H-C-O-O-L. They got it right on the second try. To me, what was funny is that I read it the way it should be. They wrote, a contractor hired to paint the world school in giant letters. Made a spelling mistake, you fucking idiots. Keith, I thought you would like to know this story. In your Sacapunta stand-up from your DVD, you said that if a comic asks you where you are from, you know, reply with, I don't know, and they give you a hard time, you say, and I was talking about...
Hecklers?
No, the opposite.
Right.
When the comic's giving you a hard time, it's like, I came for a show. It's not you and me. I'm not getting half the door. And they go, you, where are you from? And you're like, oh, come on, man. I don't know where I'm from. Come on. You don't know where you're from. This jerk doesn't know where he's from. And I said, just stop and look at him and go, hey, I'm sorry. I didn't write nothing either. And that'll end it. So this guy says, well, recently I was at the Improv here in Houston on open mic night. The comedian comes on stage and decides to ask me where I'm from. So I took Keith Malley's advice. The comedian froze because the crowd was cracking up.
Aww.
He stood there for what seemed like 2 minutes staring into the audience. He then proceeded to put the mic back in the stand and he left the stage.
Oh.
He went straight out the door and left the club. It was beautiful.
Oh, that's so sad.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I
want to
cry. This is an open mic, though. It's. I guess he learned his lesson about...
Right.
Talking to people, but
there's a lot of comedians, a lot don't think they can engage the audience,
yeah,
and then decide when the audience is done participating. I just needed you to name a city. I'm done talking about you. Where do you work? Whatever you say, I'm gonna have a joke for it. right? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it doesn't even matter what the fuck you say. I'm just going to, but I'm going to act like I'm making up on the spot. Then they go, oh, I'm a contractor. Like, oh, contractor. What's interesting that, well, I work from, shut up. Why are you talking to me? Shut up.
Here's the thing.
I do that. I talk to the audience all the time.
And I think there's a middle ground. I think that you can talk to the audience, and then you have to understand that people's personalities are such that now you opened invitation.
That's what I'm
saying. And you have to go along with it.
Right. You're opening it up. You don't get to decide when they stop talking.
I think you can decide that, but you have to do it.
I decide when they stop.
But you have to do it in a funny way, I think.
Just don't be surprised. I'm saying comics are surprised. You open the doors that you're a team, and then you're ready to go be on a roll, and you're confused that people are talking to you now and telling you about the bachelor party. Well, you asked him what he does. I want to talk about my penis straws I used earlier today.
I definitely interact with the audience, but I always control it. But right. I know what you're saying, but I mean, I think I'm of a different school where I'm just like you because I feel like when you're performing on stage, it's not always just you doing your material and that's it, because you're kind of creating a moment, like it's a together thing with you and the audience.
Well,
it's
I agree.
Like,
well,
an event.
The exact set he's talking about. When I was at Sacaputo's, it's a smaller place. There's a lot of crowd talking I'm doing. I agree, but I'm not surprised when somebody jumps in about the time they were at Black Friday. You know what I mean? I'm like, no, I'm done. I was talking to this girl about Black Friday. You know, it's not a surprise and it doesn't offend me. Comics seem to be surprised by it. And that's not shocking, but that's shocking.
So you're just saying be a pro about it.
What
be
comics
a pro
are surprised about it?
What
somebody was surprised about it? I don't understand.
Yes.
I'm obviously coming in the middle of this conversation. Obviously, this has gone on before now.
It's this. It's, where are you from? Blah, 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 da, da, da. And then he goes on. And then suddenly that same person, let's say, goes, yeah, but you know what? I've only worked there for 2 years. What I really am is this, right? and it's like that person had to say it for whatever reason. And the comic goes, really, douchebag. I was in the middle of a sentence and starts to berate that person.
I don't know how you...
That's what Keith is more talking about. Yeah. Less with the back and forth and the crowd control. You can interact, but there has to be a certain level of professionalism in it. He's more talking about when comedians flip out and now they're after inviting the people to sort of hang out together.
And I see that by a lot of professionals.
It's fucking crazy up there. I don't know how you guys do it.
But
the craziest thing that someone ever said to me on stage was I was talking to this woman and she started interrupting. This is unsolicited. I wasn't actually talking to the audience at this point. I was just running material or whatever. And then she starts talking and I was like, hey, calm down a second. Let me finish talking about this and maybe I'll talk to you for a second. And she goes, oh, you hate me because I'm a lesbian.
Wow.
That's what she said.
Wow. Wow. What did you say?
I said,
probably
I didn't know you're a lesbian. I hate you because you're a bitch. And then her entire table of friends started laughing at her.
Oh, my God.
Which is hilarious. And then afterwards, she came up and bought me a drink after the show. She thought it was so funny making fun of her.
Well, if anyone wants to see the Sacapuntas thing that we're talking about, it actually the entire thing is on Keith's new DVD, Can You Imagine? And that's the store, keithandthegirl.com/store. It really is awesome. You know, even people in the audience, I've seen every single DVD. I've come to all of them, obviously. I've seen a lot of the stuff that Keith did. It was so impressive still over and over again. And the new DVD, Can You Imagine? I mean, we're reading reviews where you topped the last ones and, you know, how are you going to do the next one? So take a moment, keithandthegirl.com/store.
Well, thank you. That's sweet.
When are you guys going to do a tour?
We do some live shows here and again. We have a Pittsburgh show coming up in October 23rd.
I'm talking about a serious tour, though. A tour.
It's a lot to put together.
Get somebody else to put it together for you.
Done.
Yeah. Who's that person? Is that you?
No, but there's people.
No, that's a lot of work.
There's people that do it, though. I've been talking to people.
We considered it.
Right?
There might be something. But for now, October 23rd, and that's in Pittsburgh, and April 14th through the 17th in New York City. So look forward to those.
There you go.
Pittsburgh. I've done stuff in Pittsburgh before. It's cool.
You been there?
Yes.
What's the weather going to be like?
I don't know. At that time, I couldn't tell you. Probably cold.
Okay.
October 23rd.
I'm looking forward.
In Pittsburgh, I did the Funny Bone there, which I hated. I hated that place.
How come?
Because not no, actually the club was good. The owner of the club was fucking crazy and was hard to deal with.
Aren't usually the owners of the clubs a little crazy?
When you're doing a stand up show and the owner is looks like he's on coke and's been in this pacing in the back of the room. Like, what the fuck?
You know what? Is every owner of a comedy club a cokehead?
Probably.
That's something I'm noticing.
I don't know.
All right. Well, anyway, yeah, thank you very much for saying nice words about the DVD. I'm very proud of it, and the Sacapuntas thing is on there as well. Remember this. Go to thebestalbino.com.
Just bestalbino.com, not the best.
Don't albino. Go to the.
Yeah, just best, or victorbarnato.com, one of the two.
You go there, you're going to see everything Victor's up to, his shenanigans, and if you get a chance to see him live, I say you do it.
Victor,
I think
when
fantastic.
Are you going on tour?
When are you going on tour? He's going to be on a world tour. When are you doing that?
After I'm done with this project, that the TV show thing I'm working on right now, probably right after that.
Cool. Can we come?
On tour?
Yeah.
We could do a tour together.
Let's do it.
Fucking make it happen.
All right. I don't have to book anything, right?
No, so other people will book shit.
All right.
We don't have to do the work ourselves. Other people.
All right, let's talk after
actually,
the show, Victor.
I was thinking about doing some stuff with Hannibal on the road. So, and then maybe we could all just fucking...
Well, he's amazing.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
Yeah.
Could and we'd also like Marina Franklin to come along with us.
Aw, buddy, aw.
Let me mention this. KeithandtheGirl.com/donate. All the nice people, all the people nice enough that, as guests that took a second and did little, how would you describe it?
Well, a lot of times we say, hey, we need your $5 a month. We need you sign up for the $5 recurring donations at KeithandtheGirl.com/donate. And some people go, why? Why should I? Well, a whole bunch of our guests, Micah Fox, Micah Sherman, Mike Kaplan, Jesse Joyce, Pat Dixon, a whole bunch of them are now giving you a reason why in a very hilarious, hilarious tone. And they each have their own little way of explaining to you why that would be fun. So even if you're just going there just to, even if you already signed up for the recurring donations, or if you're thinking about it and maybe you wanted like a convincing aspect of it, or if you just want to hear something from your favorite comedian from Keith and the Girl, go to keithandthegirl.com/donate, and you'll see a little player for each of the people who did our little commercials, and you can play it out, and they all have a reason why you should donate $5 a month to the Keith and the Girl show that you love to listen to.
And they're pretty funny, too. But you know when you said, like, and people will say, why? Why should I donate? You know who said that? Joe Bloom 08 and Jimmy Jean 008.
That's so weird.
Bunch of assholes.
That sounds familiar.
Bunch of assholes.
And after the show, Victor agreed to do one, too, so you'll find that as well pretty soon on keithandthegirl.com/donate.
Very good. Thank you, Victor.
Thank you, Keith.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Kimda.
Oh, that was
Thank you.
What?
Bestalbino.com. Thank you. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.